Hey, everybody, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Preacher Boys podcast. I make this show for you, and I hope that you really enjoy it. I have a lot of people that ask me how they can support the show financially, and you can do that by heading over to patreon.com/preacherboys. You're going to get access to exclusive content, including early releases of episodes. I've got a couple episodes right now that have been released at least a month early over on Patreon. You've got access to things like unique merch, depending on what tier you join, and you get access to some behind the scenes content that I'm posting within the group. So head over to patreon.com/preacherboys and become a member over there today. Every single supporter helps make this show a little bit more possible, especially as I continue to add additional episodes and content every single week. Thank you so much for tuning in. Let's get back to the show.
Trigger warning. This podcast contains descriptions of various abusive situations. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to the Preacher Boys podcast, a podcast shedding light on decades of mental, physical, and sexual abuse within the independent fundamental Baptist movement. The testimonies shared on this podcast are told from the personal experience and perspective of the survivors. Not all legal outcomes are known or final. Any suspect is presumed innocent until proven guilty in the court of law. Now, here is your host, Eric Skwarzynski.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Preacher Boys podcast. Look, today's episode is way different, so please don't skip this intro because I want to give some context for what you're about to listen to. I put out on Twitter the other day that if you wanted me as a guest on your podcast, the answer is yes. I will come on anybody's podcast, given the scheduling works out. Happy to do it. I'm not going to ask you about your downloads and, you know, all that kind of jazz. Like right now, I just want to get on as many shows as possible, talk a little bit about Preacher Boys podcast, about some of the activism work happening there. And good old Tommy McMurtry, the pastor of a church over in Illinois, who I've talked about on this show before. He's a unique character. He gets featured a lot alongside guys like, you know, Steven Anderson and all those types of crowd. He's not affiliated with Steven Anderson at this point, but it's kind of the flavor of his preaching and his style. If you're familiar with like kind of the more extreme side of the IFB, he would fit in that category. And he reached out. He said, "I'd love to interview you." And I said, "I would love to be interviewed." And so I went on his show, which is called his YouTube channel is Liberty Baptist Church of Rock Falls, Illinois. I did a conversation with him. He grilled me for about an hour and a half. And this is the audio you're about to listen to. I do not endorse the views that Tommy shares in this episode. So if you're a first-time listener to the podcast, just be aware that usually I am the interviewer, and this clip you're going to hear, I am the interviewee. Tommy's views don't represent mine. I think you'll figure that out based on the clip, but I wanted to give that context for what this is. But again, I applaud Tommy for one thing in this, which is he had the guts to sit down and actually talk with me, which a lot of IFB pastors just haven't been willing to do. And so it was interesting hearing the questions he was going to ask from his side, his perspective, and I hope my answers were helpful. Some of them were a little bit broad, so I wasn't able to go into as much detail as I'd like to. But anyway, here's my conversation with Tommy McMurtry, and enjoy this very unique and special episode.
Yeah, all right. So ladies and gentlemen, I believe we are live. We started a couple minutes early. And we did that on purpose because to teach all of you the importance of showing up for things early. And I believe in people showing up for church early, stuff like that. So anyway, we're going to jump right into this. Make sure you let me know if there's any audio issues in the live chat. So a couple days ago, we tried doing this kind of spur of the moment, but we did it pre-recorded and we got a good ways into it. And then I realized the audio was messed up. And so
it was a good conversation too.
We were having a good conversation, but you could only hear you. You could not hear me.
Hey, some might say that's the best way to do this, but
The problem is I really liked what I had to say. And that was disappointing. So I told him, all right, we'll just do it on Friday and we'll do it live. And So some of the stuff that we're going to talk about, Eric kind of knows is coming because we're, you know, there's a lot of stuff that needs to be repeated. Some good things that were said, but the one thing, yes, this is the apostate.
Thank you. You guys are like WWE, man. Coming in quick.
It's probably going to get ugly, but we'll see what happens. All right, let me apologize ahead of time for all my viewers, but anyway. But you know what? I've seen some pretty nasty stuff said about me on your Twitter and on your YouTube channel and things like that. So it's gonna get good. But in our conversation we had before, we were talking a lot about stuff that we agreed on, and I really don't want to do that so much in this conversation. I would prefer to talk about the stuff that we disagree on, just because I think that that's more entertaining, personally, and obviously, we do want a little bit of entertainment value here. But again, so for those who maybe are not familiar with Eric, he has a YouTube channel, Preacher Boys documentary. I think it's called Stop IFB Abuse. Used to be an independent fundamental Baptist. Saw a lot of the cover-ups and junk that sometimes happens in the IFB world. Got turned off to it. And go ahead and why don't you say a little bit about yourself and, you know, tell everybody a little bit about what you do and why you do it.
Yeah. So, like you said, I grew up in the independent fundamental Baptist movement. My parents were both full-time staff at the Christian school where I went Monday through Friday. And then my dad was on staff at the church I was at Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, all those three to thrive kind of jams. And, you know, grew up, made a lot of good memories, made some good friendships, you know, had a lot of fun. You know, I wasn't the kid that was like waiting to get out. I was in 10th or 11th grade. There was a sexual abuse cover up that happened. And the pastor who was involved, or youth pastor that was involved, got relocated to our church. And I was one of the first people to find out on the congregation side, started sounding the alarm about it. And people were not happy I was talking about it. And basically, I ended up kind of getting pushed outside of that circle, which was all I knew, and started really researching kind of the movement as a whole. Came across, you know, Jack Hiles, Jack Scott. Situation happened a little bit after that, you know, the stuff with Treber. I mean, I started seeing these people that were always praised in chapel services for me growing up were all part of these really ridiculous scandals and cover-ups. So, well, there was just a lot of incongruity between what was being preached and what was actually happening behind the scenes. And so that was really what pushed me out quite a bit. You know, remained a Christian, but didn't identify as IFB, and you know, ended up starting Preacher Boys podcast and really trying to expose the abuses that weren't being talked about and giving a voice to survivors of abuse within the movement. And since then, I've just been trying to figure life out, like I think everybody who's in their 20s is trying to do, trying to figure out where I'm at, what I believe, what's true, what's not, and you know, kind of go from there. Yeah, excited to chat a little bit. And I will say this, I complimented you and no one's going to believe it. So I'll say it again now. We have a lot of disagreements, I'm sure we'll talk about. But I do respect that you are consistently as crazy in person as you are in your public persona, and that you don't shift gears depending on who you're talking to. I think we have that in common. We have beliefs that we have and we're not afraid to talk about them. And I'm glad you have the guts to actually invite me on and talk, because there's a lot of pastors I've tried to talk to that have not offered opportunity like this. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, when you're sincere, yeah, you're not afraid. You're not afraid of a challenge. We're not recovering fundamentalists here. We actually don't fear challenges, and we'll actually take challenges. Big difference there. But anyway, but yeah, so kind of what this is really going to be. And for those watching, and I told Eric, is I just want to really go over a list of grievances. He put it out there that, you know, he wanted to do interview. Yeah, you know, he's willing to do interviews with people. I asked if you want to do it with me. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be fair, because, you know, I've followed Eric's what he's been doing for quite a while. And I've been somebody who for years I've had a problem with abuse and cover-ups in the IFB. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, one of the things that really got you going with your ministry was the specific situation with Cameron Giovanelli, if I'm not wrong. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that was another one, too, that I got fired up about. I was mm-hmm. running my mouth about that whole thing. I appreciated the way Pastor Shiflett handled it. I didn't like the response that he got. I had a huge problem with that. So I've always had a problem with it, as well as many other preachers. However, you know, we typically are not super high on the totem pole in the IFB world. We're not the featured speakers, the celebrity pastors, and stuff like that. So it's kind of easy to ignore us. But whenever I see someone speaking out against it, I'm always glad to hear that, because I want it to go away. And I think one of the reasons I appreciated Pastor Shiflett so much, and I loved his book so much, is because here was a guy that was calling out the abuse in a big way, but he wasn't dumping everything that I believe is good about the IFB. And unfortunately, that's what it seems like most people do who start talking about the abuse. I feel like they're just using flawed men, flawed churches as an excuse to bash everything that's good about the IFB. And it seems like you very quickly, you know, upon doing exposés on perverts and stuff, just seem to embrace every bit of left-wing lunacy that's out there. And so how can you possibly have been an IFB guy? And I understand getting turned away from that and maybe not wanting to hang around certain groups, or, you know, even having problems with some things that the IFB is known for. But to jump from that into the full-blown just wokeism, the feminism, all this other stuff, and then, too, to eventually just say, I'm not even a believer anymore, you know, that's what we all think about people like you to begin with, mm-hmm. that you're just not even believers to begin with, mm-hmm. that you hate truth. And haven't you just proved that? And don't, you know, hasn't what you've done, the things that you've promoted, aren't you just making it so the bad guys you actually have called out, they're able to just point like, look, these are the kind of people that, you know, are talking about the junk in the IFB. You know, haven't you kind of given the bad guys what they need?
Yeah, I think to some level you're correct in that, you know, it's very similar to when someone, you know, starts censoring, you know, different you know, denominations and going after them. There's this expectation of persecution, you know, that people have. And so when you do go after in any way, you're playing into that hand. Same thing, you know, when I started the show, you know, and people can believe what they want, you know, I believed what I said I believed. I was consistent with what I said. And when I didn't believe it anymore, I was open quickly, because I didn't want to be hypocritical, because I believe there's a lot of pastors and a lot of people sitting in churches who don't believe what they claim to believe. And so I knew when I said, you know, I no longer believe, you know, that there were going to be people that said I knew it, which was a shock to me because I didn't know it. And there were going to be people that said, we knew if you spent time, you know, focusing on this, it would draw you away. You know, but on the flip side of that, what's more important to me than the optics of what people want to say is just being truthful to where I'm actually at. And so, you know, I don't find myself now in a position where I'm trying to deconvert anybody. It's just where I happen to be. And, you know, I know it seems like a very quick shift for me. But, you know, my journey of trying to figure life out has been since I've left the movement. I've been trying to understand where I'm at, and trying to work my way through that. And, you know, I've had various different ministry things I haven't talked about, various different conversations, a lot of study that I've done. I haven't come to this place purely out of emotion, which I think is the kind of approach people have. It's been, I knew my positions before. I know them now. We were talking, you know, yesterday, like there's pastors that come at me with verses and sermons and apologetics that I'm like, not only do I disagree with your approach, I could give that apologetic better than what you're trying to throw that verse. So, you know, yes, are there people that are going to use that against me? Sure. But I think if it was found out 10 years later that I didn't truly believe it, it would be the same thing. You know, why live a double life?
So would you say that your problem that you have is abuse within the IFB, or do you just have a problem with the IFB? Because I'm talking doctrine, I'm mm-hmm. talking about way of life, because to me, I don't believe those two things are related. I think that's just example. Bad guys come in, or even, you know, even good people end up messing up and falling into sin. Mm-hmm. But I don't believe I'm defensive when it comes to the IFB. I love the IFB world. I don't like seeing people attack it, leave it, you know, going after good people in it. And yet all the groups that try to just expose the bad, you know, the actual bad junk, all seem to go to this. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, would you just admit that, yeah, I don't like IFB doctrine. I don't like their way of life, you know, or is it just abuse?
I think there's two separate things there. I mean, I think I don't like the abuse, but abuse happens in anywhere there's a group of 100 people. There's statistically probably someone abusive within that group. So I don't think this is an IFB only issue. I know people have levied that criticism that you think, oh, it's just IFB. I think Hollywood has these issues, the IFB, Catholicism clearly has these issues, the Mormon Church has these issues, NXIVM, Scientology, fill in the any group you want to put there. As far as IFB theology, I mean, I don't like monolithic statements. There's things about IFB beliefs, and there's IFB pastors that teach things that I think are really beautiful principles and good things. Clearly, I don't I don't believe a lot of those things. So it's not so much a dislike, so much as I don't find it applicable to me, just like I wouldn't find Islam or Mormonism or any other religious group. I think that there's some belief systems and things that exist that make abuse more possible in certain environments? Absolutely. You know, I'm sure we'll dive into that a bit, but, you know, there's some teachings and attitudes within, you know, purity culture at large, within the way that women are not platformed or not given any kind of voice within the church that lead to abuse. You know, and even people that, you know, I respect, like Stacy Shiflett, who have stood up against this stuff. I've had these conversations with him where, you know, you're a really good leader from all accounts within your church. But is the system, if a next person came in, you know, would they be able to do the same things that your predecessor did without any checks and balances? Like, that's the conversation there. But again, are all IFB churches bad? No. Or is all IFB doctrine harmful? No. You know, is there things that concern me? Yes. You know, but again, I have never said all IFB churches are bad. You know, I think there's a lot of bad leaders. The people who are the premier speakers, a lot of those I would say are pretty rough, but there's a lot of nuance to that, I think.
Right. Well, because I feel like you discredit yourself, you know, for example, if you go after, when you go after good people or even some of the good things that are promoted with the IFB, like you have a lot of negative things to say about the purity culture that I just, when I hear you talk about these things, I feel like you don't even understand why purity is so important and why predators are so bad. It seems like there's a huge disconnect. Also too, when it comes to gender roles, because here's the thing too, that I would think you would understand coming from the IFB world. Okay. And I get it. You're to the point now where you don't believe the Bible, you know, you consider yourself an unbeliever, but you understand IFB, we're fundamentalists. We take the Bible literally.
Right.
So even though you do not accept that anymore, you know, shouldn't you respect the fact and understand the fact that if people are claiming to be followers of the Bible, that they will understand the Bible's very clear. You know, mm-hmm. women are not to usurp authority over the man. They are to be silent in the church. You know, that that purity is a very important thing, and it is a virtue, and it is something that's of great value, and so even though you might not like that, you know, it's like, for, you know, there's a lot of stuff that I don't like about or I disagree with when it comes to the Amish, but you know what, I can respect the fact that, okay, that's what their religion teaches. That's why they're doing what they're doing. You know, I'll talk about where the disagreements are, but, you know, when I see somebody actually following their religion, I actually like that better. Like in our area, we've got Amish Mennonites where they look like Amish people, but they all use technology. I think you're fake Amish at that point. So it's like if somebody, you know, if you're a Muslim, I expect you to be, you know, trying to kill infidels and practicing Sharia law and stuff like that. And if you're a Bible believer, I expect you to take these things literally and be practicing them. And so if you just don't like that, you know, to me, you should just be honest and say, I don't like the Bible. I think the Bible is wrong. What's wrong with these Baptists for following the Bible? You know, so why don't you do it that way?
Yeah, but I think that's one of those things where, you know, taking the Bible literally, for example, you know, there's because again, and people go broadly, well, do you believe the Bible, you know, when it comes to or, you know, do you understand that fundamentalists believe the Bible? There's a lot of people who disagree on a lot of things that IFB churches or IFB pastors would say is set in stone in scripture. You know, like there are people who would say, you know, for example, and I don't know where you're on this, but there are IFB pastors who would say the earth is 6,000 years old. And that's because I'm a Bible believer. Like creation was 7 literal days because I'm a Bible believer. You'd also have people that say, I believe in, you know, the gap theory because I'm a Bible believer. I believe there's 7 days. It doesn't give clarity in that area. And same with gender roles. You know, I've interviewed medievalist historian Beth Allison Barr, who, you know, talks about, and she wrote the book, The Making of Biblical Womanhood, you know, and she talks a lot about, and she would be a very conservative, you know, Bible believer, though I don't think many would recognize her as that. But within her study, like she talks about how, you know, the letters from Paul, which were written to the people at that time, so there's a lot of customs associated with that. Like our understanding of like the patriarchy and the way that we approach gender roles now is a lot more reserved and a lot more based on Jewish culture than what was actually being taught in scripture. So again, there's a lot of people who could say, oh, I'm fundamentalist. I'm, you know, I'm this. Like my issue is that those fundamentalists don't agree with each other on what the Bible actually says. Like there's a lot of interpretation. There's a lot of deciding what's just history written to those people. What is actually God spoken to me specifically. And so to just say like, well, we do this because we believe the Bible, there's people who are charismatic Pentecostal who would say the exact same thing. So it's hard to draw the line on that front, if that makes sense. And again, this is broadly like the Bible as a whole. So, you know, we could talk about every right. different facet and story and say, what about this? What about this?
Yeah, well, I guess the thing is, there's always somebody that you can find that, you know, will kind of interpret the Bible the way you want them to. I mean, there's people that teach UFOs and aliens from the Bible too.
Yeah, right.
You know, but at the same time too, a lot of these people, they're just kind of fringe. They're outsiders. They're not a part of any movement. They have no history. They're just kind of one more person that's just saying what everybody's wanting to say in this woke culture. They don't have anything that's, you know, been tested and tried throughout history. And so it just sounds like people just trying to make the Bible fit, you know, the modern culture. And you understand the IFB is not like that. You know, we try to be true to what the scripture says. And we've got, you know, when it comes to maybe some things about the IFB, you know, obviously there's weird things and weird factions of the IFB. But I'm just talking about just stuff like, again, yeah, like gender roles. I mean, that used to just be part of our society when we were very Christian. And you know what? You know, these things are very spelled out in the scripture. And you can't, there's no way you can say things are getting better in this world as they're getting away from that. I mean, people can't even figure out what stinking gender they are anymore. No, it's not making them happier.
Well, we talked about this a little bit on our last conversation. Like there is, you know, we're looking at a very small period of time, right? Like we're looking, even if we go back to the roots of the IFB movement, which I don't know, would you say that goes back, I mean, all the way to Jesus? Are you one of those? Or would you identify that it is a
not our relatively style. New? Yeah, okay. Not our style of doing things. I mean, I think our doctrine is as old as the Bible.
Sure.
But as far as a lot of our practices and our culture, yeah, obviously it's not super old.
So again, I mean, you go back and, you know, because you hear things like, oh, it's not tried, it's not tested. Well, the IFB is still a relatively new experiment in the span of the actual denomination. I mean, if you were to go back to, like I said, if you go back to medieval history and you look at, you know, the church at that time, there were a lot of female leaders within the church. If you go back, throughout time, there are these little experiments that happen throughout religion, throughout the world. And again, right now, we're at a period of shakeup where women are, you know, being given more voice. Women are being able to share their perspective for the first time. And same with, you know, any racial topics too. I mean, we're seeing a time now where non-white people are able to share their perspective within the U.S. in a very open way. But again, this is all a very small sliver of time. This is within the last couple of years. And so, you know, whether it's going to be a net positive over time, I think it will be, but it's too soon to say what are the ramifications of, you know, the Me Too movement overall. Will that be a full cleansing of what's happening in, say, Hollywood? Will that be a full cleansing of what's happening within church culture? You know, I don't think one movement's going to get the entire job done, but I think there is a positive that happens when someone who has not been given a voice is given a voice for the first time. And I think that's going to prevent some of the cover-ups and abuses that have happened historically in male, you know, white male dominated circles. I think it's going to allow for there to be more transparency moving forward, which is a good thing, I think.
Right. Well, while the IFB movement too, like, so, well, I don't know exactly how old it is, you know, is it J. Frank Norris old, whatever.
Right.
You know, here's the thing about it. You know, and there's people out there that'll tell you can always find it. People like us throughout history. I don't know. Here's what I do know is that I'm not, and I tell people this all the time. If I find another group that I feel is preaching the Bible better, you know, following the Bible better than the IFB, I'll join that group. But, you know, at the same time, I am the last one to try, you know, new things. You know, I am the anti-trendy. As I like to call it. And when it comes to independent fundamental Baptists, our style of Baptists, okay, I grew up in it. You know, my dad raised me that way. I've got previous generations that I can look back on. I have, you know, I come from a line, you could say, of Baptist people that I have known in my life. My grandparents were Baptist, and they, you know, so I've seen a product that works, you know. I am very thankful for the way I was raised, and I have done everything I can to raise my kids in the same way. And obviously there's been really slight variations, obviously it's not identical, but very slight. And so and it's working, you know, I feel like I've got a tested product.
My thing is, can you define what working means? Cause that's something.
Well,
that gets
mentioned. So yeah, what working? So one, I want marriages that are happy, that last, that stay together. You know, I come from a long line too of people that divorce is just not really a thing, in my family, you know, and it's not just miserable marriages too, you know, good, happy marriages, good, happy childhoods. You know, I don't want kids that are going to jail. I don't want kids that are leaving the faith and denying the faith. And so far, you know, I've got so many examples of things I can look at that are working. Now, there's exceptions that are out there. Okay. Now, not really so much in my immediate family. It's a pretty high number or high percentage. I'm saying though, I don't see another movement that's producing anything that I would want for my children. And I think every parent, they want the best for their children. And I don't see anything. The people that are going more liberal, I don't see them producing anything I want. I see them producing LGBT kids. I see them, you know, producing kids that are just completely leaving the faith as well. That's not what I want. Where the people that are producing the kind of product that I want for my children, for my grandchildren, they're all in the IFB. And if another group starts doing it better, I can't find that label in the Bible. I'll take that label, but it's not there. So show me somebody doing something better, and I'll take it. And I feel like what you're promoting, it's this woke agenda. Feminism is not making women happier. More and more women are on medication and things than ever before. Divorce is a bad thing. It's running rampant. You know, the gender dysphoria stuff, it's getting big for a reason. Sexual perversion. I would not wish, you know, some kid coming out as, you know what, on my worst enemy, and let alone one of my own children. Yet that is becoming more and more and more common. And that's another thing where I think you discredit yourself too. Is you act like you have a big problem with perversion, but then, you know, some of the stuff that you feature on your program with LGBT people. In fact, one of your videos you did was on how LGBTQ Christians experience harm in the church. You've got to understand that according to the Bible, according to Baptist theology, you know, there's no such thing as an LGBTQ Christian. You've got to understand that. And can you understand why Baptists are just going to write you off and just dismiss you when you're promoting somebody who's talking about LGBTQ Christians? That is such an oxymoron.
Yeah, well, again, I think the thing that's interesting to me, and even in this conversation has been present, is that there's many times where IFP pastors go, well, do you write off everything in the movement? Do you broad brush everything in it? You know, but then when it comes to the minute I platform somebody who has a disagreement, whether it's small or large within the Baptist context, they use that as a reason to write off everything that I'm talking about. And so, again, you know, do I expect everyone to agree with everything that I do on my show? No. There's people who would disagree that I'm coming on this platform with you. There's people that would disagree that I had Stacy Shiflett on my show because he hasn't renounced the IFB. And then on the flip side, I have conservative Christians, even people in groups like Recovering Fundamentalist, you know, network that dislike some of the content that I put out. And so I don't expect anyone to monolithically agree with everything I promote or every guest I have on. That being said, the guests that I have promoted, for example, the one that you're mentioning, you know, I don't know if you listened to the episode or if you've read her book. She also approaches scripture from a what she would deem a conservative view of marriage and relationships. And so she does identify as experiencing same-sex attraction, but her religious beliefs, she believes, prohibit her from being in a marriage relationship. So she stayed celibate. Now, again, most IFB pastors who were upset about that interview didn't listen to her explain that or talk about that in any regard, that she's trying to the best of her ability to follow scripture the way that she interprets it. But from my perspective, you know, the quote-unquote perversion, to use the word used earlier, that bothers me most is when it violates someone else's autonomy in some way. And so, you know, I have a great issue when someone is being forcibly, you know, whether it's in a heterosexual or homosexual environment, when they're being forced to do something sexual that's against their will. And I'll talk about that all day long. I think that's a major issue. Do I have deep concerns about, you know, what someone does privately, whether heterosexual or homosexual? I don't. If it doesn't affect or cause harm to somebody, I don't have a reason to be concerned about it myself. You know, when someone says, do you agree with, you know, being gay? It's like, I disagree with it for myself. I don't want it forced onto me. But if there's, you know, somebody else, I don't see why that should take up real estate in my mind, if that makes sense. But again, from the beginning, you know, I would never decline having a guest on who would, you know, just because there's some disagreement or it's going to bring some outcry from one side or the other. That's not how I run things.
Right. Well, I guess, you know, what this comes down to, and again, with you being from the IFB, again, I just, there's some things that, you can't unsee. It's like when you've seen the truth on some stuff, it's like you can't unsee it. So it's like, how could you have been in the IFB, seen the things you saw, heard the things that you've heard, and then just reject some things that are so common sense? So for example, if you're against perversion, abuse, and stuff like that, okay? And I, you know, you meant, and this is what makes it seem like you're just accepting whatever the left-wing agenda is. You know, it is only in the news media, it is only in Hollywood, where in the LGBT world, they're just same-sex attracted people, just like you and me, but attracted to the same sex. That is a myth. You know, these are people that the Bible says have been given over to a reprobate mind, and the amount of abuse that is within that world, I mean, it doesn't even compare to with what's in the IFB world. I mean, such a large portion of your LGBT people are people who are abuse victims. And that's what's so bad about abuse. When you twist people's minds on when it comes to, you know, the sexual things, it ends up, it does a great deal of damage to them mentally. And most of your, you know, people who identify that way are victims, and they turn around and end up producing more victims. And so I just, you know, well, as somebody who actually hates abuse, I can't handle that world.
But I want to address that, because that's, I mean, that's factually incorrect. Like, most people who are victimized don't become abusers themselves. That's been disproved study after study. And it's one of the reasons
let me say this, though. I'm saying most people who identify as LGBT have been abused.
I've never seen that, but again, happy to look at information about that. I mean, it's one thing that I will say, as far as abuse victims becoming perpetrators themselves, that's been disproven. It's one of the reasons that many victims don't come forward, is because that misconception and that concern around that. As far as a lot of people in the LGBT community having been abused, I haven't heard that information. I haven't seen data about that, you know, and what the ramifications or implications about that would be.
And I'm not saying, too, that most abuse victims become abusers. I'm saying most abusers were also abuse victims.
That's the same thing backwards.
No. because you can have 100 people get abused, and maybe only one of them becomes an abuser. But if you have 100 abusers, probably 90 some of them were abused. You see what I'm saying? I'm saying most of your people who become abusers were abuse victims themselves. Because people don't, and that's, you know, and you should understand this, okay? Because this is what is clearly in the Bible. This is not what our world is teaching, okay? And this is something that, you know, you're not going to be allowed to agree with me on this, but I just can't, I'm not going into fantasy world, okay? I don't use people's preferred pronouns either. I don't play their fantasy games, but people aren't born that way. It is something that happens to them. This is a distorted mind. That's how people end up going into that world. And I'm saying nothing destroys people's mind and affects people's minds more than being abused themselves. Even if you were to count things like just being exposed to stuff too. Even if somebody's not physically touched or something, the things people are seeing and looking at all the time. You know, perverts love to show people pornographic images and things like that. That's something that they're breaking the mind of these people. And that's why, as somebody who, you know, hates abuse, hates perversion, I hate all forms of it. And the things that people are using to mess people's mind up and create abusers, there's a reason we're seeing more and more of this today. And the more we promote this worldly philosophy of there not being a gender, you know, people being whatever they want, of not having a biblical home with a committed husband and wife relationship and things like that, this abuse thing is only going to get worse. It is going to get worse and worse. There's no doubt about it.
What do you think is the source of abusers within the IFB movement? Because you are in an extremely sheltered environment in that case, but yet the same issue. And it's one of the reasons that I struggle with the religious side as well, is that there is this claim of divine morality and transformation and the Holy Spirit. But you see the same things that are happening within the cesspools within Hollywood and certain production offices happening within the most sheltered Little House on the Prairie-esque, you know, church where kids don't have access to pornography. They don't have phones. They don't have TV. They don't watch Harry Potter. You know, you've got parents teaching very strict separatism. What is the cause or the starting point that leads to this path, if not influences from, you know, quote unquote, the world?
Yeah, I think, you know, in my opinion, I think there's more than one answer to this, but I think one of the reasons you find it in some of the very sheltered situations too, is a lot of people who are struggling with sexual problems, perversion, abuse, whatever, a lot of times they are attracted to the places and even the preachers who kind of preach the most about, you know, family type stuff. And so a lot of times, you know, like it, now I am not a fan. I do not, I will not defend like guys like Bill Gothard and stuff like that. He had a lot of problems, but understand what he promoted and what people thought they were going for was stuff on the family, strong marriages. And a lot of times the people who get caught up in those movements like that are people who have major issues that they're trying to work out. So they all tend to gravitate towards the loudest voice when it comes to those things. And so as a result, those people who, you know, were preaching strong on the family and everything, it ends up making it look like they've got a lot of failure because so many of their followers just turn out to be freaks and have all kinds of problems. But the truth is, they got involved with them, I think, trying to find help, but not ever telling, you know, people, because one thing I find out too, you know, as a pastor, a lot of times people, they come to your church, you know, because they have real problems and they're looking for help. Yeah. The problem is they don't tell you the problems that they're having.
Yeah.
And well, so and it makes it very hard. It makes it very hard to help them. So again, those loud voices often attract the hardest cases. Mm-hmm. And so two, they also, because their problems are so hardcore, they think if I go the most hardcore strict, I'll be most likely to get over these things. Mm-hmm. But again, hardcore is not always the solution on everything, but that's just kind of how they naturally think.
Right. Yeah, I'd agree with a lot of that. I think that's true. And I think there's also, you know, I mean, churches are just there's a lot of naivete in a lot of churches, and there's a lot of places that, you know, sweep this kind of stuff and try to fault on the side of grace when it comes to some of these cases and things. And so it can be a safe haven. I would agree with a lot of what you said on that point for sure.
Yeah. So, you know, and that's why I've always tried to, you know, to teach people in our church, you know, don't always just listen to the loudest voice. Don't just listen to the person who's most hardcore, you know, look for somebody that, you know, has some balance, you know, and, but yeah, so I kind of want to, cause you know, we're limited on time, but, one thing I wanted to do too, you know, another area where I think you discredit yourself sometimes are the people that you go after. Okay. And again, obviously you've got the Jack Scops that are out there, you know, we're all embarrassed by Jack Scop, have huge problems with him, but I was going through your videos and looking at some of the people that you featured, that I feel like you featuring these people has discredited you. And I think you should, and all these people I'm going to talk about too, you know, these are not like people that I'm buddies with, that these are all probably people that either don't know me, and even if they did know me, they probably wouldn't defend me for anything. So this is not me just circling the wagons for my buddies. Mm-hmm. But you just recently put out a video about Pastor Mike Johnson. Mm-hmm. And in that thing, you put on there anti-LGBT rhetoric, which I'm like, who cares? I mean, you know, in the IFB, we've always talked negatively about LGBT. Yeah, and another thing too, in the IFB, we've always done. This is just how we are. We're all like this. You know, some of us will just admit it. But, you know, just like, you know, sometimes you tell boys, stop being a girl. You know, you tell guys, stop being a queer. And I mean, what was the offensive part on that clip? The fact that he said queer and that's offensive to LGBT, or the fact that he offended maybe people who like soccer? What offended you more?
I'm a hardcore soccer fan. That was it. No, I mean, the big reason, I mean, really, for talking about that, I mean, and I have, you know, I've known people who grew up in fundamentalist environments who, you know, later came out as gay. And, you know, and my concern is beyond even just the question of theology and, you know, all this conversation, my concern is I don't want somebody who is just scrolling through Facebook coming across. And same thing when I talk about abuse, same thing when I talk about any topic, racism, fill in the blank. You know, there's 99% of topics that I can come stumbling across that don't bother me and don't hurt my feelings, whatever. There's a very few amount of things that come up where I would like some advance warning that that's what I'm about to watch. This is what I'm about to see. I don't like watching anything about, you know, extreme violence. You know, there's certain topics that come up. So when I'm thinking about people who have gotten pretty verbally beat up about, you know, whatever, homosexuality, about whatever the topic is, I'm going to throw something in to say, hey, by the way, this is what this clip is. So, you know, as to what he was talking about, I mean, one, it was completely irrelevant to whatever he was about to preach about. So it was just a random aside, but also it was just a dumb rant. So, well, I want to explain that too, because I've shared stuff of yours as well.
I think he might have been preaching to a bunch of teenagers, and mm-hmm. as preachers, you know, sometimes we're being funny, and two, you know, we are trying to, in a fun way. You know, I got the impression when I was watching that clip that him, in kind of a fun way, you know, he's encouraging these boys not to be queers. And you probably really need to do that when you're in California. You know, I don't know that was the same sermon. It kind of looked like the same place where there's another clip. And I've heard him preach a couple times in person. I don't know him on a personal level. I've heard him preach a few times in person. I've always really liked him. So it's like, I don't like seeing his name, you know, featured on your thing. I don't think that was a bad thing. You know, he's got the one clip where he's like, you guys in your skinny jeans. He's like, you know, what are you doing with those skinny jeans? Those are invented by the homosexual crowd so they could scope you. You know, preachers talk like that. Again, a part of it's in fun. They're just trying to promote masculinity in an effeminate world. And I'm telling you, I don't understand how a straight dude's going to be offended by that.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think, and again, there's people I promote that I think are in clips that I think are silly. There's things that I think, you know, and I'm of a position too where I think a lot of the worst thing you can do is take some of these guys seriously. And there's things that I've shared that you've talked about, you know, that I've agreed with. And there's things that I've shared that you've talked about that I disagree with, or I think are just like, what are we talking about? And so, you know, again, do I think, one, I don't like Mike Johnson because he's affiliated with a lot of people that are extremely abusive, horrible people that have covered up a lot of things, and he's been silent about it. But the other piece of that is too, I don't think it's all good fun if you have somebody sitting in that auditorium. And again, you can theologically say, okay, well, they need the gospel or whatever you want to throw at that. But if you have somebody sitting in there who is struggling with suicidal thoughts because they're getting made fun of for how they feel about something, or you have somebody in there who's dealing, whatever it is, like, that's just not helpful for a quote unquote spiritual leader to come up and like lay one on you. You know, that doesn't help the situation. And so, I do think that's concerning. And I, you know, again, like, I don't, suicide rates are extremely high due to bullying, due to things like that. And so that's concerning to me that would be said to a room full of teenagers. And it's just unkind. Like, do you want teenagers leaving and saying the same stuff at a mall? You know, like, it just doesn't, it doesn't seem appropriate. And again, I don't think he's a particularly good person on top of that. But,
well, but can you understand? But again, this is to me.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Where you should be just saying, you know, I got a problem with the Bible. You know, so Pat, you know, and I'm not speaking for Pastor Mike Johnson, but, you know, as Bible believers, you know, we believe that, you know, the effeminate, the abusers themselves with mankind, they're not going to enter the kingdom of God. So, you know, it's just kind of their funny way of just always making sure young people understand it's not okay for you to be that way. If you're thinking that way, you know, you need to get help. You need to get right. And I get it. You disagree with that.
Well,
but as a Bible believer, can you understand why we would try so hard to warn people to stay away from that?
But see, what's interesting is the picking and choosing of what parts of the Bible mandates these guys take seriously. I mean, you look at him specifically, and I mean, he preached for Mike Ray the day after, like the Sunday after Mike Ray said, hey, by the way, you know, my son-in-law did something. Okay, we're going to move him across the thing. No questions, please. You know, he still affiliates with Jack Treiber at North Valley, who covered up abuse. Someone you said you were glad Schiff Flick called that out. So it's interesting to me that he'll take a couple passages in the Bible about homosexuality and make this rant about soccer being queer, you know, but he won't go, hey, people who persist in sin, like, I don't know, molesting teenagers at churches, they should be rebuked in the presence of all so that others will tremble in fear. Like, that part of the Bible gets left on the ground. So it's just interesting to me that there's parts of the Bible that don't affect them that they'll preach loudly and talk about. But when it comes to gluttony, abuse, abuses of power, when it comes to things like that, that gets left down to say, okay, we'll deal with that a different time. No big deal. And you see that with a lot of leaders. I mean, look at David Gibbs, who's like 450 pounds, getting up and defending guys like Jack Hiles and David Hiles. But I've never heard him preach about gluttony. That's interesting how they pick and choose.
Right. Well, I mean, obviously, you can always find another sin somewhere in the Bible because we all have. But, you know, there are some sins in the Bible that, you know, you were beaten with few stripes and some you were beaten with many stripes. And, you know, obviously, things like murder, things like adultery, you know, these are bigger deals than a guy eating too much, you know? And so I think basically what you're saying, your problem with Mike Ray is that he felt associates with people that you know, that you feel like have covered up abuse
with Johnson. Yeah.
But because I listened to that clip, it just made me like him a little better, but I don't know him. That's I don't know him on a personal level.
And again, I think that clip alone is like the same as, you know, going out and whatever, doing all the other things I've covered. No.
I guess I just felt like you were offended. He went after queers and it's just like, who cares?
Well, I mean, again, I think we should care. And I think if you hold to a theology, which again, people are made in the image of God. The idea that there are people who commit suicide sitting in sermons like that and being told that, you know, you're useless and invaluable and all the other things that are said, that, you know, it's not a who cares conversation for me at that point. It's a, you know, how do we communicate, you know, even if you believe something else to be the truth, communicating truth in love as opposed to communicating it as a throwaway joke at the beginning of a conference. But, you know.
Okay. Well, okay, so another one I want to kind of get through these quick. We're getting yep. low on time too. But then Pastor Joe Brown.
Yeah.
Why are you going? I felt like that was uncalled for. I felt like, too, you know, that's not fair to just kind of like do these videos where you're listening to a guy preach and you're stopping it and then like you're inserting your thoughts into his mind. I just didn't feel like that was, you were fairly representing him. I think he's a good guy. And
wasn't that Joe Brown's entire sermon? Playing videos out of context, pausing them. At least I gave him context, but he played videos out of context, paused them, and gave his commentary.
I haven't seen the whole sermon. I saw the clip that you shared. And I just was like, this, I felt like you were really pushing it, really stretching it. And he seems like he gets, and not just by you, but the Twitter world, the IAP sermon clips, they go really hard after him. And I feel like they always do they go hard after the guys that are in the age group that they feel like they should all be in their little, you know, trendy world, and you know, but where he seems like he's honoring the ways of his father, who they also don't like, and I think that's their real problem with him. Not that you know, maybe he gets a little dramatic in some of his preaching, but and even if he gets a little dramatic in some of his preaching, I mean, his dad's his dad is the same way. But you know, his dad, people have different styles, you know, it's not my style, it's not how I do things exactly, but you know, I grew up going to youth conferences, listening to Brother Larry Brown preach, and I feel like his son's a lot like his dad, and I think that's people's problem that they have with him.
Yeah, I mean, well, first, his sermon was literally him playing video clips, pausing them and talking about them,
Well, I don't think it's for dramatic effect, but I mean, was he using these clips to twist somebody's words or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, he played. So first of all, yeah, his whole sermon was a series of videos that he and anybody can go look at it. Like, I'm not. That's what it was, and so I don't think it's any less appropriate for me to pause his words and interject my thoughts than it is for him to pause others' words and interject. But yeah, and also he was just disingenuous with a lot of what he was presenting. He played a clip, and again, you know, he played a clip from Alice Cooper talking about how he grew up a Baptist, you know, son of a Baptist preacher, came from a long line, joined a band, became very popular, you know, and what's disingenuous about the clip, and again, you can say, oh, he's not a real Christian or whatever. That was a clip from Alice Cooper's testimony video talking about how fame wasn't enough. And he was is now considers himself a follower of Jesus. And so, again, you can disagree and say, well, based on this fruit, we don't agree that he is. But it's disingenuous to play a clip of somebody's testimony video, cut out the part where they actually quote a conversion story and leave it hanging there. Same thing, like pausing and playing, you know, messages of 911 calls and saying this was a demonic attack on them. There's these things that are just even talking about a young man committing suicide, you know, from a popular music group and saying it's because of the music he was playing. That all to me is extremely inappropriate, and the way that he used clips was to manipulate teenagers into making a decision, which I've sat in plenty of those youth conferences too, where, you know, Paul Chappell would say, you know, there's these queers like Justin Bieber. He used the actual words, which is surprising because he's definitely he definitely doesn't get included in a lot of these conversations. You know, saying if you're doing a ministry outside of being a pastor, you can be wasting your life being a construction worker. You know, it's like these bizarre things. But the reason I went after Joe Brown's video again, you know, it's looking at the tactics and manipulative approach that he used in his sermon and the fact that he was using so many clips out of context. It was a bizarre sermon. I mean, whether or not you've watched it, I mean, it was bizarre, and I thought was, I mean, one, it's humorous, but two, that this guy's getting platformed in front of this many teenagers showed an extreme lack of discernment from that past as preaching or something that would be helpful to anybody is beyond me.
Well, I mean, do you think it's fair though that in with your channel that's mainly about abuse and stuff, you know, where, I mean, you know, you have videos on there featuring some pretty bad guys. Mm-hmm. And I don't think anybody really wants to be associated with, you know, and then you're going to have also included on there, you know, videos of guys like Pastor Brown who just, you don't like his tactics.
And I also don't like that he said
dramatic.
I also didn't like that he said that victims of abuse had a spirit of resentment because someone touched them.
I think you took that wrong too. Cause I saw that part that was on that one clip too, where I felt like, but no, I don't think what he was in any way, you know, trying to blame, you know, them. But again, when things happen to people that are bad, a lot of times too, they do in their heart start turning against God, and that's not solution. That's not going to help them, you know, get better. I don't think he was making them out to be the one at fault. I think he was just saying, you know, don't go turn it against God.
But isn't it amazing that his approach to that sermon, again, we can say, okay, maybe it just wasn't worded right or whatever, but
And we all do standing, that sometimes.
Sure. I've said it. I've said things that I'm like, why did I say that? You know, but to stand on a platform at a place like he was, you know, and we agree Hiles is a, that college and that church is not a great place. And yeah, maybe we have, but for him to stand there and say, how would the devil attack us doing such great things? You know, he would cause a young woman to be hurt. Why don't you name, you know, one of our pastors was a wolf in sheep's clothing, hurt a girl at this church. And that's horrible. That's terrible. And we need to make sure we're doing everything we can to not let that happen again. And if that was you, just know that you're not damaged. You're not broken. We love you. We're here to support you and we're going to protect you. That's a much better message than, you know, that's what Satan does to give you a spirit of resentment. So you'll leave the faith. Indirectly, we'll talk about Scop without saying Scop's name. It was a cowardly move.
I don't think he was thinking about Scop. And that was one of the things
you don't
too.
Think you meant, he was talking about Scop.
I don't.
When he
don't
says
think
after
so.
A youth conference, he caused a young lady to be hurt. I mean, that's when it happened. He's at that place.
I don't remember the exact quote, but because I remember you talking about in a place like that. Well, you know, let's talk about that place for a little bit because first off, that's a huge church, and yeah, Scop was horrible. But that's been like 10 years now. And so, I mean, John Wilkerson, too, you've gone after him.
Mm-hmm.
And hasn't he done a really good job? From what I've seen, the guy took a really tough situation. And I think he's done very well. I mean, I only know of the one scandal I remember you covered with like a bus work or something like that. Mm-hmm. But on the video, he's like announcing it to his church. I mean, in a church that big, you're not going to be able to stop, you know, anything or, you know, 100% of things from.
No, and I don't expect
stuff's
going to
happen.
Stop everything.
But the thing is, we only know of like one thing happening and he dealt with it. And in 10 years at a huge place like that, I think somebody like John Wilkerson should be being congratulated. You know, I don't think he should be getting lumped in with all that stuff. I think, too, you have to let some of these places live these things down. Okay, it's another thing if they like let Scott come back and preach another sermon. But they did. They exposed him when they found out. They got rid of him. They brought in a pastor who's a polar opposite of Jack Scott. And he seems to be doing a really good job from what I can see of doing things right. So why can't we let him live it down?
Yeah, I mean, again, I would ask, like, what has he done? You know, what has he done
well,
to...
Well, I don't hear about the scandals anymore. And when we have heard about one, he was addressing it to his church. And he was dealing with it. Everybody knows.
Again, I mean, we could look back at the clip. I mean, because I don't think it was a thorough explanation what happened. I don't think there were clear steps really taken on that approach. And I know firsthand, which I won't name names, but I know firsthand from victims who have gone forward to talk about, you know, either existing abuse or past abuse that has happened and asked and went to him because they thought he was going to be a different voice and didn't get responses or weren't able to have real meaningful change happen based on those conversations. But also, you look at guys that are still on staff at that church, you know, like Eddie Lapina and all these different guys at First Baptist Church of Hammond. Like, there hasn't been a lot of change. It still looks and functions very similarly. And also, you still have statues of Jack Hiles sitting around. You know what I mean? Like, they're very proud of that heritage. It just seems odd to me that, you know, it would be easier for me to, quote unquote, let them live it down if they weren't so proud and upheld this history they have where, I mean, there's been a lot of bodies thrown under the proverbial bus, you know, and that they haven't mentioned that or corporately talked about that in a meaningful way. They've just kind of said, hey, we'll just hire a quieter pastor than the last one. It just seems odd to me. And again, is Wilkerson better than Scop? Yeah, because to best of my knowledge, he's not doing the thing Scop was doing. Do I think that he is a white knight, you know, riding over the hill to save the church? That very well might be so that he's saving the church. But I don't see it being a safe place to be a survivor or a victim. I just don't see that or those steps being taken in a real way.
Well, I one thing I don't think you do a lot of times in your program too, though, is show it is a very difficult thing for leadership when it comes to handling accusations. Because again, you know, you need evidence, you know, you need, you don't want to falsely accuse somebody. It is a hard thing. And so, you know, if people are coming to John Wilkerson, it's like, yeah, you know, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, this happened. I mean, what can he even do? You know, and I get it. You know, I'm sure there's probably a lot of stuff that happened under the Scott era that never got exposed, never got dealt with. But at the same time, again, you can't always go back and erase what was done in the past, especially if it was just a really big thing. I just think, you know, considering what we've seen so far, and I'm an outsider too. I don't hang around that church. I'm not really close to anybody in there, but I do know a lot of eyes are on that place. People are always looking for something. And when you consider the lack of scandal that has been there in the last 10 years, considering its history, I just think he deserves a lot of credit. You know, we mentioned Paul Chappell too. Okay. Now, I do not consider myself a Paul Chappell follower guy or anything like that. But one thing I have to say for Paul Chappell too, very large ministry. I don't hear about a lot of scandals coming out of that church. I do remember when the Mike Zachary thing happened, he exposed that.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think guys like him don't get enough credit too, but you know, you know, so there's some really good examples, not even just amongst the regular size churches, but even with the big ones, you've got guys that are doing it right. From what I've heard about Chappell, you know, I think they're, you know, I think he's had history with pastors that have done stuff. And so it's something that he's worked very hard to keep out of his ministry. And it seems like, you know, he's done that. And so
yeah, and I've when, talked
when
about
guys
that.
Like even him too are getting lumped in with all this, I think you just have an IFB problem.
Well, and see, but that's the thing is I haven't lumped Chappell in. And I've said on my show, you know,
you
the
got
worst
videos
thing,
with him too.
Sure, of course. And of course I'm going to talk about, you know, there's things that come up. And but the worst thing, and I've mentioned this, the worst things that can be said about Chappell and the worst stories, the horror stories that I've heard about Chappell are all about, you know, the CEO type, you know, I'm going to work you way too crazy hard with little to no pay, which I think is a big problem. I think, you know, again, I have my own experiences with that, where you have people that are doing well and not paying their staff well and working them too hard. Is that, again, as bad as, you know, sexual abuse? Like, no. Is it still not good? Yeah. But again, I haven't covered Chappell much. I haven't covered West Coast much aside from things that have happened, like that are adjacent to that ministry, but I don't think he's directly responsible for. But there's multiple. I mean, I've never done a story on Maranatha Baptist Bible College, you know, like and maybe that's just because nobody's reached out to me from there, but there's plenty of ministries that have not had scandals. Like I've never broad brushed the entire, you know, I think a Treber is a much worse hurt. Like if I'm going like, that's a bad guy, like I think Treber is a bad guy. Do I think Paul Chappell's a bad guy? I don't even feel comfortable saying that. Like I've had that conversation with people. I think he has taken like CEO leadership approach to a ministry. And I think your mileage with that varies. I think there's people that burn out and there's people that say they thrive in that and they go work really hard and they build a bunch of buildings in the middle of the desert. Like that's bizarrely, you know, I think he would have been successful working for Apple, you know, like I think he just brought that approach. So again, there's things to look at and there's stories that come out anywhere. But for the most part, like there have been pastors who have approached things and handled them the right way. And, you know, I'm not even one that's cynical, like some that go, well, you haven't heard about West Coast scandals because they're so good at covering them up. It's like, okay, you know, maybe that's possible. And sometimes but I think for the most part, I think he wants to keep scandal free for the success of the church. And I think that, you know, again, you look at the Mike Zachary situation, like the cover up was largely on the Treber side, not the Chappell side. And maybe I sound like a SoCal guy still, and I'm protecting the Paul Chappell vibes. But
yeah, I'm not a Chappell. Anyway. I'm not a Chappell guy, but
I'm not either. Just let the record show.
At the same time, I think in that area he's done well. I think you give credit where credit's due.
Sure.
You know?
And I think with Zachary, Zachary was out quick, and I was pretty adjacent to that. I was there. I was in high school. I believe I was in high school. Yeah, because I was going to conferences. So yeah, I was in high school when that happened. I remember Zachary being on the platform. I remember when it happened, how quickly he was gone. My only concern was the statement that was released initially by Lancaster, I thought was really good. North Valley posted their statement, which contradicted a bit. And then the two of them released a statement that was a little bit more vague about what happened. That was my only frustration with that situation. But again, you know, he got him out of his ministry quickly. And then he was quickly absorbed into another ministry in San Diego, but that's a whole nother story. But yeah, I haven't critiqued much about how Chapel handled that situation. And ultimately, we don't really know how he handled it. We can just look at what happened from the outside, and he was out there quickly.
Well, with all situations, there's going to be so much that we don't know, you know, but again, so I feel like when it comes to stuff like yours too, you just kind of need new material. So I was looking back at your videos too. Your third video that you uploaded that's on your channel, it was with Pastor Keith Gomez, who he recently retired, but he was 40 years in a large church. Okay. 40 years. I've been around that ministry a lot over the years. Not only do I not know about scandals in that church too, but like, here's another thing. One of the things that's always impressed me about that ministry too is how many of the staff members that he has that have been there for, I mean, just decades and decades. I mean, long-term staff people there. And the fact that they have had, but you know, you went after him over some rants he did about the COVID-19 stuff, 9/11, Muslims, Democrats, you know, he was right on that stuff. I mean, you know, it's just like, I think a lot of times though, but you know, he's a big name in the IFB, you know,
I don't think he's
so
that
you want to get his followers looking at
big?
Your stuff, but he, what's that?
I don't think
in
he's
certain
a big
circles
name
in Illinois. I mean, he's got the big IFB church in Illinois. So he turned it over to the next guy. Now, but I mean, but at the same time, it just seemed like, you know, hey, if I want to get the different wings of the IFB looking at my stuff, I need to feature these different people. And I don't feel like was even close to being worthy to being featured on your channel at all, you know, because the stuff he was saying, everybody in the IFB says, and this is a guy who has a reputation that's totally opposite of the kind of stuff that you're going after. So it's like, you know, if I was you, I wouldn't want to draw attention to people like him. I wouldn't want to draw attention to people, you know, like Wilkerson and stuff, or Chapel, because these guys are proof that you can do it, that you can do it right, you know.
Right.
And so, your second video that's on your channel, it was about IFB's old fashioned views on modesty. Mm-hmm. You know, you had Larry Brown, but you even had a pastor, Tim DeVries. Okay. Now I don't know him personally too, but I've heard a lot of his preaching, everything. I mean, that's a solid guy that nobody has a problem with in the IFB world, but it's like, you know, we're going to make the IFB look like there's something wrong with them. And, you know, they've got some kind of perverted problem because they're worried about modesty and stuff. And it's just like, if they're IFB, they're not off limits for you. And again, I think if you want to be effective, you stick to bona fide perverts, but you just go after everybody.
Well, again, and again, I've said this a couple times, but I think you have to look at the system that the bad guys operate in, and you have to look for areas that enable people. I think when you have an environment, you know, purity culture, for example, you know, which again, addressing the culture associated with that, the way that you see preaching clips about how women are devalued if they wear certain things. You see, you know, pastors, you know, like Larry Brown talking about, you know, women, you know, wearing tight clothes, you know, and going after those groups. Like, when you have a culture that is estimating a woman's value based on what she wears, and you have these guys getting up and talking in explicit detail for a pastor about how someone looks in a certain outfit, and you have all of this your self-worth tied into, you know, whether you're a slut for wearing this skirt or these pair of pants. Like, that's not a healthy culture, especially when you have pastors going into, you know, should your kid be wearing a sleeper because that might, you know, because it has pants on it. So you don't want your daughter, you know, developing this spirit of rebellion and taking on these masculine traits, or, you know, or approaching kids going swimming who are not even prepubescent kids and going, hey, you can't wear a two-piece because it's sexual. Like, it shouldn't be sexual. Like, if you're looking at them and seeing that as sexual, that's more on you as the viewer than them wearing the clothes. So again, I'm looking at the system and going, you know, things like purity culture have not been helpful to victims of sexual abuse and has enabled abusers in a lot of ways. I want to talk about the system, and I want to talk about the worst examples within that system. Not everybody at First Baptist Church of Hammond was a scop, but scops sure got away with a lot within First Baptist Church of Hammond. So you have to look at the system, and you have to look at the beliefs that can help fuel abuse. Is it everything the IFB teaches? No. Is it every person the IFB believes that? No. Does it enable a lot of bad people? Yes. There's a lot of things like that messaging that does enable bad people.
Well, you gotta understand, guys like Pastor Larry Brown, you know, he comes from a generation too that was like before the internet and all that kind of stuff, when things would go viral. And a lot of those guys, they kind of still have that mentality when they go to the pulpit. But, you know, he uses funny stuff. And the truth is, too, you know, when you're this big, fat woman, you know, and you're wearing these super tight britches, it is repulsive to everybody. Shouldn't somebody tell people, hey, this is not good. This is not helping you out. You know, shouldn't somebody let people know? I mean, and I you know, he's obviously being funny.
Is that the role of is that the role of the pastor to get up? So if somebody's, but again, if somebody's in the congregation who is of that size, again, you're hearing something you'd expect to hear at a comedy club in LA at 11 p.m. coming from a pastor. He's supposed to then say, turn in your Bibles, let's read through this passage. And also, it's amazing to me that these conversations about ill-fitting clothing and weight come into play from pastors talking about women in the congregation or outside the congregation, but they never say a word again about David Gibbs coming to their platform, breathing like he's the Penguin in a Batman movie, coming up and talking about these fake stories that he uses to generate tears and get donations to his organization. So again, it's just interesting to me, the picking and choosing of who gets picked on. And again, this goes to there not being female voices within the movement. There's a lot of sexist and rude stuff that gets said that I don't think would happen if there was a equal voice for females within the congregation.
Hey, well, you know, Larry Brown, he's never heavy. And from, I've been told too, I don't know if he still does. He used to do like these 100-mile bike rides and stuff. So he was always in shape. So, you know, he's allowed to say something.
There you go.
But yeah, but, you know, so you know, one thing too, I wanted to point out, because again, it's easy to find the noisy nut jobs, you know, the bad guys that are out there, but you know, you've talked to, you know, good guys too. You know, you did the interview with Stacey Schiff. It was really good. Another one that you did, that I remember I listened to a long time ago, you did an interview with Pastor Michael Poindexter, which, I mean, I thought he nailed it in that interview. You know, these are guys who are as IFB as you can get, and yet they don't have the scandals. They have all these other things that you don't like. Mm-hmm. You know, they promote the purity stuff, you know, the dress standards, you know, they talk against the music, all that kind of stuff. But you know, they also they're not like the featured speakers in the, you know, the biggest conferences and things like that.
Which is also telling, because I would much rather see Shiflet.
Oh, I would too.
Be a featured speaker, or Michael Poindexter even though I disagree. It's there's two things there. One, I've had those guys on, so clearly I'm not considering them also to be evil, horrible people. You know, I do think there's conversation about intent of what you say and impact of what you say and all those sorts of things. But like, again, those are guys who I wish, if the IFB was Stacey Shiflett's across the board, this would be a much different conversation. You know, I would still have my disagreements, obviously, about whatever, like I do with everybody on every side, like we all do. Nobody is, if you agree with someone 100%, you're in a cult, okay? Like there's something really bad there. But my thing is, I've had those guys on, and the interesting thing to me when I have these conversations is people go, and people always go, Stacey Shiflett. Like, well, there's Stacey Shiflett. And it's like, one, most of the IFB leadership, like he doesn't get invited to stuff. Like he's got a black mark on him from calling out Treiber in a big way. And like, there's just no, I mean, he does. But then it's like, those guys get killed within that movement. Michael Poindexter, like he's got a small sliver of the IFB like that he's in. Like if the IFB as a whole does not have major issues, why are people like Treiber in such big positions? People like, you know, establishments like all these different colleges or organizations, they have these high positions of power. But then somebody comes out, and I thought when Shiflett did the video, oh, the floodgates are going to open. This is where all the good guys come out. It's crickets for the most part, aside from some fringe people, which again, I disagree with you on most. You're vocal about abuse. You'll call out by name. That's something that cannot be said of most people. I can count on this hand how many pastors I've seen publicly call out abuse in a public forum. And again, we could say some don't live stream and all that sort of thing. I'm sure there's more. But most calls that I get from IFB pastors who call me and say, hey, actually, thank you for what you're doing. I disagree with you on most, but I agree with you on saying this and this and this. I get the, I would support you, but I'm part of that movement. I would support you, but you're a little bit too far out there on this thing. It's like, can't we all find, if there's one piece of common ground, if there's one fundamental thing we can all agree on, isn't it that people should be safe within the church? And it doesn't seem like that's a conversation that most pastors want to have. I wish there were more Stacey Shiflett's. I will platform guys who totally disagree with me on everything, but agree on abuse. Like, I'll talk to those people any day. There's just not that many of them out there willing to do that.
All right. Well, and I guess the reason I brought up guys like Shiflett and Poindexter too is because I think those guys are actually more accurate representation of the IFB as a whole. Now, where a lot of even, you know, regular IFB guys I think make a mistake is, again, there is a problem with the celebrity pastor where we, you know, IFB preachers, they give too much attention to certain popes and big names. You know, I wish if a Shiflett had a conference or a Poindexter, you know, to me, people ought to prioritize, you know, some of these guys that have like regular sized churches, you know, because we're going to learn things from them that'll actually help churches like mine that are regular size versus these mega churches. You know, in Rock Falls, Illinois, I'm never going to have a church like Lancaster. You know, so I would rather go to the smaller church thing. And I do wish the IFB would focus more on guys like them, you know, the regular guys. Obviously, I will never be the one they focus on. I'm too different on some stuff. But, you know, these guys that are more there are people that are kind of the full IFB package, yet at the same time, they're not caught up in all the foolishness. And I think the IFB does. They need to stop going to the Bible college guys. And, you know, yeah, they should have the Shiflett's come and preach for them and people like that. I think they'd be better off. But, you know, either way, and I know we're about out of time, but I guess the thing that I wish I could get across to you and your audience too, and we probably don't really have a whole lot of time to get in this, because obviously on one hand, it's like, I'm glad you came out of the closet as being an unbeliever, because I never really thought you were. And I know you say that you were a believer.
News to me. Yeah.
But at the same time, okay, at the same time, I don't want to see people, you know, leave the faith, leave the IFB and stuff like that. And I think it is. I think it's the bad guys in the IFB that create people like you. I think there are bad guys in the IFB world. They create the and inspire the recovering fundamentalists and stuff like that.
Yeah, the church split was just jumped in. So welcome to the church split.
Oh, yeah, Brian. Yeah, Brian's there.
A little late to the party, but.
Yeah, but here's what you got to understand. You know, Jesus was very clear that, you know, the devil was going to sow tares among the wheat. Okay? They're going to look like us. They're going to sound like us. And just something to help people kind of identify, okay, you know, who the real ones are. Because the world, they do not hate us, you know, because we are just believers in Christ or Christians. They hate us because we testify their works are evil. You know, we do. We preach against the homosexuality. We preach against the queerness, all that kind of stuff. That's why they hate us. But there are the outward visible markers of ours that make us different from the world. How we dress, you know, how we look, those things that we preach. Those are the main things that people can see and that they notice about us, which makes those things the easiest things to mimic. So the thing is, if I want to make somebody think, you know, I'm a camp meeting preacher when I'm not, first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to turn on the Southern accent. Because you got to have, that's like the most notable thing about them. I'm going to grow a fat gut. You know, I'm going to do all those outward things. But at the end of the day, I'm still a Yankee. I'm not a camp meeting preacher. I'm not like those guys. And so there's a lot of people out there who they are. They're infiltrators. And so they're going to be the ones yelling the loudest about the dress standards, yelling the loudest about the purity. They're going to be saying the most extreme things. Because they're trying to convince everyone that they are one of us. And I feel like your side often features the noisy nut jobs. But let me tell you, fakes can't be balanced. They can't do it. You can't be balanced when you're fake. And so that's why a lot of these guys that are preaching the most hardcore on male leadership, you know, also treat women terrible. Well, that's against the Bible too. Male leadership is in the Bible, but, you know, treating women bad, that's also frowned on big time in the Bible. But the thing is, nobody criticizes the IFB for giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. We get criticized for the authority part. So the fakes come along and it's all authority, authority, the man's in charge, the man's in charge. You know, we get criticized for corporal punishment. And so you do, you have the pearls come along, just like, beat the kid, beat the kid, beat the kid, you know? And it's just like, you know, you don't have to go crazy and extreme with this stuff. But it's interesting how, you know, those are the ones, though, that everybody picks up on, everyone focuses on. And to me, those people are obvious phonies. And I don't get bent out of shape when I see you going after them. It's when I see you going after the good guys, and I see you go after a lot of good guys, and I think it's because they're testifying that your works are evil. So, yeah, but that's my thoughts on it.
There's no question there, so I don't know what to...
Yeah, well, I guess I just want you, and I want your crowd that listen to this to just know that that's how you spot the phonies. They can't be balanced. Okay, Scott said crazy extreme things. Mm-hmm. That was a good signal that he's fake and things that weren't.
What did he say?
That weren't consistent. What's that?
What did he say that was crazy?
Don't get me going all that. But here's the thing, like, you know, like you said about me, you know, I might have some beliefs that are extreme as far as the world is concerned, but you got to admit they're consistent too. Mm-hmm. And I guess I feel
and I've
like
told you that at least yeah, you're consistently right. Crazy.
But I even feel like you're very inconsistent. And I think it's because you're just against the IFB. And I question whether or not you really believe the things that you say. Because it's like, you know, I understand people get mad at the IFB. What I can't understand, being okay with homos. I understand being mad at the IFB. But feminism, I mean, come on. You've become the full liberal package of everything. And I hate, you know, that's not what should happen.
So I have been called the full package before.
What's that?
I have been called the full package before. I appreciate that. no, and again, I think again, we are constantly changing as people. I think I've consistently tried to be open about where I'm at, which is all I can do, is try to be consistent about where I am. And I feel a lot better, you know. Again, it brings me a lot of hatred to state my positions from either side. But my thing is that I've been consistently open about, hey, here's where I am. This is something I've claimed before. I don't believe it. And I think it takes a lot more guts to do that and say, hey, I'm a work in progress. I'm figuring this out. I'm trying to understand life itself. I'm trying to research. This is where I am. I think that takes a lot more guts than to say, I've got it figured out. I believe this. And I'm just going to keep putting on this show every single Sunday. And again, I'll just echo back to you. I know we're at the end here. Like, my hope for, you know, your side, which again, I hate monoliths, but, you know, but for the IFB side, for people who are listening who would disagree with me on certain things, and for people on the flip side, on my side, who disagree with sides, I hope that we can all agree on certain things. For example, abuse. I hope that we can all find common ground in protecting people who need to be protected. And I hope we can not broad brush, you know, people based on one position that we disagree with, and not avoid conversation based on things we disagree with. It saddens me that there's people who, you know, will say, hey, you're just a far left liberal, you know, you jump to that extreme for clicks and views. And then I have people on the far left liberal side who say, like, you're way too conservative. You know, I get those. I get both sides of those messages. At the end of the day, I'm me, and who I am is going to evolve and change as I learn and study and research and talk to different people and hear perspectives. And so I hope that people don't throw out the important messages about stopping abuse. If there's an IFB pastor, I've had pastors call me before. If you want resources and things, I'm not going to say, hey, what do you think about the King James and skirts? And I'm going to give you resources. So anyway, I just hope that's clear. And I hope that we'll try to at least stand united on this front, if nothing else.
Okay. Well, hey, I appreciate you, coming on the program. I think what I'm going to do here to close it out, I'm going to, I'll, you know, I'll kind of give you a final word to say, but then, I just, at the very end, after you get off, I just want to take a couple minutes for some preemptive damage control, because I know not everybody's going to be happy that I had you on here, but so.
And that's silly. Like, can we agree that's silly?
Well,
that
yeah.
That anybody on my side or your side would be upset that we had a conversation,
right?
Like that.
I mean,
that shouldn't happen,
right? There's legitimate concerns, but again, you know, there's how other people operate and there's how I operate.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to, you know, acknowledge a few of those things. And so I know you've got to get going, but I'll let you go ahead and have a final word you'd like to say. And then I'll let you step away and then I'll close it out.
Yeah, I think I said what I need to say. Check out the Preacher Boys podcast. Plug. Go check that out. And honestly, like I said, I would just say, I know there's majority IFB people probably listening to this. Sincerely, if there's any questions, resources, anything I could help with as far as the preventing abuse side, anything, if you're curious about that, I'm happy to help. I'm not going to just go on attack mode. That's not my MO. I've talked with a lot of pastors who I strongly disagree with, who I think have asked really good questions about, you know, security at our church, or here's a step, or who's a good law firm to talk to walk through this stuff. Like, I'm happy to help there. And ultimately, at the end of the day, I just don't want to see people get hurt, whether that's in the IFB or anywhere else. I just happen to be connected to this movement. I was born and raised in it. I saw it firsthand. I've experienced some of it. And so I want to keep sounding the alarm there. But I do appreciate the Shiflets of the world, the people, I mean, Tommy, for we disagree on so many things. We had a great conversation yesterday about a lot of those. But at least you have the guts to admit that this does happen, which is, I think, a step in the right direction. I appreciate you giving me the chance to talk about it. And for not beating me up too hard on this conversation.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me. I'll go ahead and let you go. And then
perfect.
Say I'll some just, final words. But yeah, so I appreciate Eric coming on here and doing that. But yeah, for those who might have a problem with me having a conversation with them, okay, I'm not mad at anybody that may disagree with me having this conversation. But at the same time, too, I do think, you know, as somebody who identifies as IFB and who is defensive of the IFB, somebody who's been publicly critical of Eric on multiple occasions, I felt like if I'm going to address a lot of these things, I shouldn't be afraid to do it right in front of him with him there. And I guess I want people like him too, in case there are people out there who are wanting to expose these things, you know, who are good people, don't get caught up in all this other stuff. You discredit yourself. I want perverts to get busted. I want them gone from the ministry. But, you know, we do more damage than anything when you lie, when you get things wrong. There's a lot of people that are going to identify Eric as just a troll. And you know what? He's gotten enough stuff wrong. And I nailed him for a bunch of those people that he's unfairly gone after. You know, if a pastor doesn't want to give him the time of day, if they don't want to talk to him, if he's letting a call and fact check, I don't blame him. You know, guys like him, they need to be 100% right, and he's not. So I'm not mad at people that don't want to talk to him, but I guess at the same time too, you know, I'm not afraid to talk to somebody like that, call out some of these things, and you know, I would rather do it with him there because I don't think it's that effective for me to just, you know, get up and tell you everything he's thinking and talk about him completely unchallenged. I don't think that's going to win anybody over. So you know what? If he wants to come on here and then I can get his audience over here, you know, I trust my audience to not get pulled his way. But maybe I can pull some of his audience the right way because, again, while there are bad people out there, while there are tares among the wheat, while there are guys who are overly emphasizing some of the notable characteristics of the IFB, you got to understand those people are not the majority. There are a lot more out there that are the real thing, that they are sincere, and they do. They love the Lord. They're not perfect, but at the end of the day, you're not going to find, I don't think you're going to find a better movement out there than the IFB. And so I'm sticking with this, and I'm going to defend the teachings that I believe in. I'm going to defend the good guys that are out there when they're being attacked, and there are there's a lot of them, and those bad ones, you know, I hope they get nailed. So anyway, I hope you enjoyed this conversation. We had a good live audience through the whole thing, and if you get a chance, if you're not from this channel originally, came from Eric, go listen to some good IFB preaching on this channel, and you can hate abuse without becoming a left-wing lunatic. It's very possible to do that, and that's how we are over here.
Thank you for listening to the Preacher Boys podcast. If you appreciated the content on the show, please leave a review on iTunes and don't forget to connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter with the handle @PreacherBoysDog. Additional information can always be found on PreacherBoysDog.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.